Amen. Please be seated. And quickly, I'm going to go through our introduction, which is just a review of our last lesson. We continued our study of Psalm 119, following the Hebrew alphabet Resh. Resh on the blank line there. R-E-S-H. With the psalmist, verses 153 through 160, who is again listening to life's minor chord of affliction. Okay, going through a time of affliction, and I know some of you can certainly relate to these lessons, amen. And I know God has purpose and timing and teaching and all that. But he encourages himself in the Lord his God and his word. Of course, that is the theme of Psalm 119, the word of God. Thy word, thy law, thy precepts, thy commandments, thy judgments, amen. All referring to the word of God. And so, three bullet points from last week. We looked at the assessment, and of course that was concerning affliction. The fact that not all affliction is punitive. You may be going through a difficult time, you think, God's punishing me. I've heard this so many times. God, I'm paying for my sins. Listen to me and listen well. That is a lie from the pits of hell. You are not paying for your sins. If you are a Christian, Jesus Christ has already paid for every one of your sins. Now, there are times of chastening. I understand that. When you're not walking with the Lord, He's trying to get you back into fellowship. But this talking in particular about affliction here, it's not always punitive. Many times it's what we call Romans 8:28 affliction. What's Romans 8:28? All things work together for good to them that love God. Sometimes He uses affliction to bring us back to Him. So, the assessment. And then we talked about His assailants, which have been throughout this psalm. And then we looked at His assurance there. His assurance. What was it? Really, it's focused in verse 160. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. He said, it's God's word. I can trust God's word. Next line there. The psalmist, for the final time, mentions that familiar enemy that has afflicted him over and over. You say, what is the familiar enemy that has afflicted him over and over in this psalm? It's persecution. Persecution. I could say this, in America, as Christians, we don't know very much about persecution. We don't. If you convert to Christianity in Saudi Arabia, it's a death sentence. If you bring a Bible into North Korea, it's a life sentence in a concentration camp. I wonder how many of us would throw our Bibles into the burn pile if we walked into North Korea. Now listen, I understand where we live in America. It's something to think about, though. It's something to and by the way, it's the reason why we ought to fight for America. Fight for the values that founded America, the religious freedom that this country was built on, the Judeo-Christian foundation of our country. Amen. So the psalmist, for the final time, mentions the familiar enemy that has afflicted him over and over, persecution. So number one, the persecuted man. Says there in verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause. But you know what else he says there in that verse? But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. He says, yes, they are persecuting me. And yes, it's without cause. I think some of us could say, yes, I've been persecuted, but there was a cause behind it. We say, deserved it. I've heard people say, you know, I'm being persecuted because I'm giving the word of God to people. No, you're being persecuted because you have no tact. Huh? You're being persecuted because your boss expects you to actually do a job when you're on the job. Right. Instead of standing on a chair and preaching the Bible. Hey, I'm not against standing on a chair and preaching the Bible on your break. On your break, amen. On your lunch break. But when you're on the boss's time, you're not being persecuted. You're being expected to do the job you were hired to do, amen. So, but his one, he says here, I've been persecuted without a cause. I've been persecuted by princes. There are those in authority that persecuted me. But you know what? I still, when I look at your word, I stand in awe of it. This persecuted me. You know, hold your place there and flip just a few pages to Psalm 138. What an incredible verse concerning the Word of God. Many of you probably know this verse. It says in verse 2 of Psalm 138, you ought to mark this verse if you mark your Bible. It says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. It's incredible, ladies and gentlemen, when we think of the name of God, the name of God is holy. The name of God is righteous. The name of God is the concern of the third commandment. Huh? Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's a big, God's name is a very, very big deal. And you know what he says is an even bigger deal to him? His word. It says he's the one who magnified his word above even his own name. So we see the persecuted man. Then we see, secondly, in verses 162 to 164, if you go back, we see the praising man. Yes, he's been persecuted, but he says there in verse 162, the first two words are, church, I rejoice. I rejoice. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. First, under there, we see his discovery. His discovery. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. There's lots of shows out there, and I don't know, some of you may be reality TV and all that, but like Treasure Hunters. Anybody ever seen the Antiques Roadshow? Antiques Roadshow, where somebody comes and says, you know, I found this painting in my dad's attic, and they say, oh, that's an original Mona Lisa. You know? And then next thing you know, everybody's tearing apart paintings in the attic, amen? Or this guy says, you know, I found this baseball, and it's got some guy's autograph on it. What is it? Oh, that's Babe Ruth. You know, people do that. Well, you know what? This is the psalmist's discovery here. He says, you know what? I found the greatest treasure of them all. I look at the Word of God the way people that would find a box of gold coins rejoice. Hey, think about the recent folks that won the Powerball. And they can opt out. It was a $930 million one-time payment. And Uncle Sam gets, I don't know, 900 of that or whatever it is. Amen. You know what? They're rejoicing at their spoil. Ladies and gentlemen, we got something better. Yeah. I mean it with all my heart. We got something better. We got something that shows us the way of eternal salvation, shows us the way to live our lives, to help other people. Amen. His discovery was the Word of God. But then, secondly, if you would notice, not only his discovery, but notice his detesting. Psalm 119, 163, he said, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Just this week, I saw a moniker for the United Church of Christ. And it said, the Bible is like a GPS. Helpful, all-knowing, and occasionally wrong. Yeah. Listen to me. I don't hate people that go to the United Church of Christ, but I hate the false doctrine that those stinking, rotten apostates are peddling. It's sending people to hell. And that is exactly what the psalmist is saying here. He's saying, look, just like I love the truth of God's Word, I hate the perverting of truth. Which is, and he says, I abhor, I hate and abhor. People say, Christians, you're not supposed to hate. We don't hate people. No. We don't hate people. Amen. Right. We don't hate sinners. But we hate sin. We hate the lies that false doctrine is built on here. And so, his detesting there. But then we see his doings. So his discovery, his detesting, his doings there in 163. He says, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. You know, when I think about his doings, I think of that familiar passage in James chapter 1, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. James 1:22. Jesus was the one who said, the wise man who builds his house upon the rock is the man who hears the word of God and does it, does what it says. How many times have we made mistakes in our lives because we simply didn't do what we were supposed to? Last night, my wife was at the ladies' meeting, and I had told the boys, at Bob Evans on Tuesday night, kids eat free. No matter how many of them you bring. So by the way, pastor's doing a kids' club next Tuesday. No, that's I just figured if I brought three that one of them would eat for free because I get my meal. And no, all of them. So I had told the boys, listen, we're going to clean up, be a blessing to mommy. We're going to clean up, and when we get cleaned up in a timely manner, we will go to Bob Evans. Okay? Well, we got cleaned up, Brother Horse, but it wasn't in any sort of timely manner. It was almost time for bed by the time we got done cleaning up. Listen, you know what I told my kids? I'm not going to reward you for not doing something that I asked you to do. They made the mistake. I'm listening to them, and I'm cracking up, and I'm getting mad all at the same time. They're down there playing around and, you know, hitting the bongos and all that stuff, and I'm just sitting there going, boy, you're not going to like it in about another 20 minutes when the hammer drops, amen. How many of us could say the same thing about God? We knew exactly what God said, and we didn't do it. Huh. His doings, he says, there in verse 163, thy law do I love. Okay, number three. So we have the persecuted man, the praising man, and then we have the peaceful man. Great verse, a personal verse. Love this verse. Psalm 119, 165. Great what? Peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. The cross reference I give you there is in John 14:27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace leave I with you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. He said, I'm going to give you peace. Blank line there, offend, and you have the word, the Hebrew there, mikshol. Offend, mikshol, carries the meaning to stumble. To stumble. Okay? So, imagine there, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend or cause them to stumble. So have five quick things here, and I don't have time to really, it's a great message in itself. I hope you'll look these up. But situations cannot make the peaceful man stumble. Situations come along, and they can't. I believe it was Paul there in Philippians, he said, look, if I be offered on the altar of service for you, praise the Lord. Okay, situations come along that disturb most people's peace, but that one that has the scriptural peace of God here, the situations, they may bother them a little bit, but they don't cause them to stumble. Secondly, I like this one, scholars cannot make him stumble. I don't base my belief on the Word of God based on what scholars tell me. I don't base my belief on the Word of... If somebody comes out tomorrow and says, you know, this part of the Bible is not true and this and that, it doesn't affect me in the least bit. I know it doesn't affect you in the least bit. Scholars don't do anything. Why? Because here's where I get truth from, right here. This book, Thy Word is Truth, John 17:17 says. Thirdly there, sovereigns cannot make him stumble. Sovereigns. We would call them kings. Proverbs 21:1 says, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth it whithersoever he will. I don't fret about big events and world events and all that, and what's going to happen. Are they going to stamp out Christianity? You know, all that's going on, Brother Jeff, over there in Israel, and they're going to come in and take over Israel. I don't fret about that at all. The Bible already tells us what's going to happen with Israel. She's going to survive and thrive. She's God's people. That's God's land. Amen. And so kings don't make him stumble. How about this one? Sinners cannot make him stumble. So situations, scholars, sovereigns, sinners cannot make him stumble. I always think of Polycarp, that venerable bishop of Smyrna, who when they came to him and they said, listen, you're an old man, and we need you to recant Christ, but because of your age, we won't make you do anything but just offer a little pinch of incense to Caesar. And Polycarp said, 86 years have I served him, and he's never once denied me. I'll not deny him. And they martyred him. The Bible says in Matthew 10:28, fear not them which can kill the body, but fear him which can destroy body and soul in hell. You know, the worst they can do to us is send us to heaven. Boy, that's it. That was the old John R. Rice line. Somebody put a gun in his back. They're going to hold up Brother Rice. They said, stick him up or I'll blow your head off. Said, you going to threaten me with heaven? Yeah. Huh? Really, when you have the peace of God, and I know many of you have the peace of God, sinners can't make you stumble. And I like the last one. Sorrow cannot make him stumble. You know, as Christians, we have sorrow. But we sorrow not as others which have no hope. Why? Because we know where we're heading. Yeah. That loved one that died in the Lord, you know where they are. You know you'll see them again. For all eternity, amen, the peaceful man. Oh, I've got three and I've got to just throw them at you. We don't have much time here. Number four, the patient man. The patient man. 166. Lord, I have hoped for Thy salvation and done Thy commandments. When I think of this verse, I think of the verse in Matthew 24 where it talks about who is that wise and faithful servant. He's the one who does His will when the Lord comes. You know what that means? Brother Downing, he's just the one who's just doing His Lord's will every day, expecting His Lord to come at any moment. What is He? He's the patient man. He's that patient man that just simply goes. I've said this so many times. Pastor Donald and I have talked about this. I have such respect for so many of you in this church. Just, you know what you're doing? You're as far as Christianity goes, you're a plodder. You're just plodding along. And that's not a criticism, it's a compliment. I've seen my fair share of sparklers in Christianity. You know what a sparkler does? It shines for about 10 seconds. That's it. And then, where are they? I appreciate people that have been saved for decades and still serving the Lord. If you're a young person here tonight, just take a look around you and say, you know, just patiently. I think about it in regards to a fire. You know, you have a big fire and it's burning hot, but what you really want is a nice, steady fire. Nice, steady burn. That's what we want to be as Christians. It's that patient man. 167, that should be number 5. I've got four number 4s there. It should be number 5 and number 6, amen. It should be the passionate man. The passionate man. My soul hath kept Thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. We're passionate about a lot of things. I had a man today. I went to visit Brother Fitkowski. Man met me in the hall. It was one of the funniest experiences of my day. This older gentleman met me, and he looked at me. He said, "You Michigan or Michigan State?" He just looked at me. And I said, neither. Nebraska Cornhusker, since I was a kid. He took a step back. He said, who are you? What do you do? I said, I'm the pastor of Loomis Park Baptist Church. He took another step back. He looked at me and said, I quit smoking. I'm telling you what. I said, well, good for you. He said, where's your church located? I said, right up there on Elm Road. He said, good day. Oh, great stuff. You know what? He was passionate about his team. They wanted to know. Hey, we're passionate about our teams. I was kidding with Brother Pratt. Aaron Pratt's coming with us on Sunday. He told me, he said, oh, you get out right around 3 o'clock. You'll be able to watch the Patriots. And I said, yeah, what time's the Steelers game anyway? Oh, they're not playing. That's right. Amen. Hey, I'm passionate about the Patriots and the Red Sox and all that. Hey, you know what I want to be much more passionate about? This right here. This right here. Lastly, number 4, the third time. Amen. The perfected man. What's the perfected man? That's that mature man. Where do we see it? 168. I have kept. That's past tense. What's he saying there? I've kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. One of the most frightful thoughts is in the Bible, there's nothing hid that shall not be revealed. I don't know about that scares you. That scares me. The mature man takes that, mature woman takes that and says, I'm going to live my life as an open book for God. I'm not going to do anything in darkness that I'd be ashamed of. One day I'm going to stand before God, have to give an account. That's the perfected man. Amen. That's that perfected man. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word, your blessings, Lord, so much in this passage.